Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network, founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. Their vision was to start a radio show that helped writers reach their dreams. The World of Ink has a wonderful group of hosts who are dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows, bringing not only entertaining shows, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Hi, it's Marcia Cook, and it's A Good Story is a Good Story on the World of Ink Network, and it's going to be a great show today. Happy afternoon. Usually I'm on at night, but I've been switching around because I think a lot of people do like the afternoon, and I kind of like the afternoon now, too. It's a good time to have shows. And so today we have two authors that have been on before, Jean and Lee, and so I'll bring them out in a couple seconds. I just wanted to do a few announcements. If you didn't see last week's show, we did a show on breast cancer, and we had some great guests talking about the good, you know, progress they've all made, and they're all survivors. So in case you want to catch that show, it's on worldofinknetwork.com. All our shows are on worldofinknetwork.com. And you can hear them from, actually, this is like our fifth year doing shows, and I think I've done 6 years because I was with Red River. And they also have some very good shows. So that was last 2 weeks ago. And then let's see, next week, I think I'm pretty sure this is going to happen, but it may not happen till the following couple weeks. But Elizabeth Black will be on the show with me, and she was with Trent Zelazny, and they were at the Stanley Hotel from the book The Shining, and they were at a convention. So we were actually going to try to do the show from the Stanley, but we were afraid about if we could even get, you know, a good reception there, which if anybody's seen The Shining, it's not shocking that was going to happen. And so Elizabeth, I know, and I wanted to have them on because we're going to talk about it, and they met a lot of people there. And so we're going to try to get some of the other guests on because I think that would be really interesting. I don't even know if I could do that, go there. But they were there, so that's good for them. And we're also going to have in December someone I've been trying to get on the show for several years, Lady Amber, who I just think she's a great she really supports writers. She's really good. She's got a company, and she's Lady Amber, and she does a lot of PR, and she does good PR, and she's out there for her people constantly. So she's going to be on, and that should be really interesting because I don't think she's been out much on shows. So I'm going to be really happy to have her and some of the authors. And next week, Virginia and I will be doing a show. We're going to start to do some shows about no holds barred about how this business is, and that's why we're starting it up today with actually with Jean and Lee, because they've been doing this for a long time, and we're going to talk about the problems and the successes because they are both very successful, and they have been doing this and they have not given up, and we're doing this for myself for the last 20 years. So I think that this, we're starting off this program of supporting writers now and trying to help them because there's so much going on. So I'm going to let each of them introduce themselves. Jean?
I'm Jean Joachim. That's J-O-A-C-H-I-M as in Mary. And no, it's not a pen name.
And I can't can't pronounce your name. That's what
nobody
I'm
can pronounce
Jean
my name.
I know. Okay. That's what I just said. Okay.
I write contemporary romance. Right now I'm working on a sports romance series, football series called First and Ten.
And you've done a lot of
cool
books. You have a lot.
Yeah, I have a lot of books out there. I have about 30
yes,
books published.
Yeah, that's why you're both on, because you both do. Okay. All right, Lee?
Lee? I'm Lee Michaels, and that is a pen name. And I'm the author of more than 100 books. I've done 80 contemporary romances, 10 or 12 historical romances set in the Regency period. I also write nonfiction. I'm the author of On Writing Romance from Writer's Digest Books. And I write for relaxation. I write local history and niche market nonfiction. So that
right.
keeps
and
me out
that's,
of trouble.
That, you are, you're both very busy. All right. I should say this now before the show starts. All right. I am Marcia Cook and Marcia Casper Cook. That was a name I started out thinking it was cute to put my maiden name in, and now it's stuck there, so now I have to use it all the time. And sometimes I go, oh, really, I don't want it, but all my everything that's out is Marcia Casper Cook for the last 6 years. All right, and let's see. I have eight or nine books. I'll have a new book coming out, Grand Central Station, off of one of my screenplays. I just redid Virginia Templeton stories, because those of you who know me, I've changed it 3 or 4 times, and I should take my own advice. This was not smart that I did. I went under a pen name, then I put my regular name, then I put a pen name, and I've lost all my reviews on Amazon, so it looks like nobody's ever read that book. So anyway, but it's called Shameless Sex, and that is me, and I put my name on it. I've split vote my website up. I have just Marcia Casper Cook is for my children's books. And my other books are in Michigan Avenue Media and everything else you can find on World of Ink Network. And some of the things that I do, I actually try so I could see what works and doesn't. And a lot of this doesn't. So who'd like to, ladies, which one of you would like to talk about what's working these days?
Go ahead.
Okay.
That's very hard to know what's working. What's working now doesn't work tomorrow. If you're lucky enough to get selected by BookBub, it works. But it's gotten to be so expensive that I'm not sure if it works unless you put your book up for free. It's very difficult to say what works. I think finding your niche and finding your readers and interacting with readers still works. I think that's still the best way to sell your books and to get out there. It's as I say, Facebook ads work one minute and then they don't work the next.
I know.
And as Facebook has now decided that people can't just spam and put their promo on a million sites because they're shutting people down for doing that. So that's a whole avenue that people have been
using.
Which
has really been bad for people because it's, you know, Lady Amber, I mean, she had I think they punished her for 2 weeks. And one of the things is, like, they put the names in front of you, like, they'll go, like, do you want to add these people? So one day I just went, oh, fine, I'll just add these people. Just added, but went down the list and checked them all off, okay? 2 minutes later, I get something from Facebook. You don't know these people. So,
right.
You know, we're just, as I said, fine, just delete them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they keep doing this. They tell you to promote and to get out there. And then when you do, they shut you out.
Right, but what's happening is that they really want to charge for this. And after all, they are a business. And if people weren't, I mean, spamming, I'm talking about putting promo in 200 groups. Day after day, week after week, 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't even go to Facebook groups anymore because all they are is promo. There isn't
I
one
only
like,
go to a few now. I only
comment.
Go to a few. I go to a few.
I don't go to any. I don't go to any anymore because it's a waste of time.
I actually have one
that I set up that's not for promo and distinctly not for promo, and that one has stayed active and has been very helpful. It's behind the scenes for writers, a place to share the frustrations and the ask for advice and
so
ask research
questions. So is that a private
that
one?
Kind of
is that private? Or
it is. You have to ask to be admitted, and I have to allow someone to be admitted. But it's called Reading, Writing, and Romance. And
Reading.
It's a Facebook group that is not for promotion. I think you're a member of it, Marcia.
Yeah. I am. Right. And that's I have to go in it more.
Yeah.
Right. That's the thing, what Jean is saying. I have to figure out what is, you know, because I'm in a few
there's
groups
so much out
that
there.
I know the people that have been on my shows, and that's why I'm in them. But I have to go in them myself. Well, I know that Jean.
There's so much. There's so much out there that is just not functional. Yeah. You got swamped in it.
Now, Jean, you're in that writer's romance one, right? And I see them out, right? Writing romance, is that the name of it? Or
I don't know. I have a group that I started with two other authors called Chocolate, Chatter, and Romance.
I don't know that one.
And that's just
Chatter.
Three authors, and that's it, and the rest are readers.
That's
so
great.
That's nice.
That's really good.
Right.
Yeah,
we've started
really
having
nice.
Our own reader group. I think that mm-hmm. makes a big difference.
What a great idea. So it's chocolate, cheddar, and...
And romance, right.
Romance.
But we're not
okay.
we're not admitting authors. We're at least not allowing anyone else to promote there except the three of us.
Okay. That's a good idea.
So,
so you have readers,
otherwise,
then.
It's just a spam group. You know,
mm-hmm.
And what's...
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens. And, I mean, I hate to say this. I know everybody likes to point fingers at Facebook, but the truth is, if the indie authors had not been spamming beyond belief, making everyone else kind of crazy, then Facebook wouldn't have taken this stance.
Yeah.
I think
mm-hmm.
it's just become, it's people, you know, who are greedy and people who I'm not sure are really genuine writers, people who think that
yeah.
this is an
yeah.
easy way to make a buck. After 50 Shades of Grey, I believe that a lot of people said, oh, man, this is, you know,
yeah.
look at this. This is easy.
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this. I'm jumping on the bandwagon. I'm going to throw together some smutty book. I'm not going to bother with an editor because I don't need an editor. And I'm just going to throw it up there, and then I'm going to spam the you-know-what out of it until everybody buys it, and I'm going to make millions of dollars. And that just doesn't happen. That is not the truth. And these people have come, and a lot of people have joined after 50 Shades of Grey hit it big. I don't know if you, I mean, you remember the good old days back in like 2012 when you could go into Facebook
the good
groups.
Old days.
Right, and you could
yeah.
do promo and you could, you know, interact
yeah.
with people and you could sell that way. And
mm-hmm.
it was great.
Yeah.
But not anymore. And that's because it's so incredibly overrun.
Yeah.
That
well,
people are just
no
run wild with
yeah.
no concern for what they're doing at all.
No, they really don't. And, you know, I find myself half the time, like I think I was just talking to someone before the show about, you know, the fact that I don't even know some of the people that are now, I see them constantly on my site. And I probably,
right.
maybe what I should do is not, they're praying for people, and because there's so much sadness on there, I think you can get depressed. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm thinking that should have never been that way. That wasn't what this was for.
True.
You know, I don't even, you know, and I remember when I started with Ray, like 5 or 6 years ago, I was on Facebook, and then Red River, April Robbins started Red River when she had like 50 hosts, and so I was scared. I didn't want to go on a radio show or anything. So she had a promo out, and she said, "Well, people want to read?" And I went, "Well, they keep telling me I have to do this." So I went in, and I was on for like 5 minutes. I was a nervous wreck. And then she said, "You want to do a show?" I go, "What?" I mean, and that's how, though, I made all these friends
right.
from a person like that
yeah.
who started something really, really good. And, you know, and it was fun. We all shared each other's things, and we met each other. And
right.
I like that part. And I met so many people I never would have met, ever.
Right.
But
I
want to go back
like
to the original question. I want to go
yeah.
back to the original question,
yeah.
which was what's
okay.
working now? And maybe try to put a little more positive spin on this.
Yeah.
What's working now seems to be, and I agree with what Jean said about what's working today may not work tomorrow, but two things. One of them is regular releases of high quality mm-hmm. books, and
yes.
the other one is personal contact with readers and letting
yeah,
right.
them see you as a real person rather than just as a spam machine. And
right.
no, that's not easy, and that's not quick, and that's what people mm-hmm. don't like to hear, because we all want the easy answer. I want to do two things. I want it to take 5 minutes a day, and I want to sell a million books. Well, yeah. But it doesn't work
good luck
that way.
With that.
It's not that
yeah.
easy. And,
no.
and
right, so,
so
let's say
you know,
a new writer.
Those,
okay, somebody's a new writer, okay? Tell them what they maybe should start with to make it where they're not all over the place and then quit because they just get
first
frustrated.
Of all,
okay.
don't go out there with one book and promote the heck out of it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have more than one book because readers are choosy. They don't want to take a chance on somebody who's just could be a one-trick pony. I
right.
think that
okay.
you've got to have a plan. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to write a book. And in romance, I think series are really big and really important. And I think
mm-hmm.
if you want to
yeah.
break in, you've
yeah.
got to have a series. And you've got to have some of it
the
sketched out.
The same with Cozy Mystery. Yeah.
yeah.
Right. You've got
to
have some of it
be
sketched
continuing.
Out beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So you
right.
can tell
exactly.
people what's coming. Right. And then I would
right
not
quality.
Suggest anyone new
mm-hmm.
self-publish. I'm self-published now, but I've been with a publisher for over 5 years. I learned so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So much. being with her. She just closed her door September 1st, so then I'm on my own. But
I saw that.
You had to do a lot of stuff.
But I think what a lot of people don't realize is it's very expensive to be a publisher now. I mean, it's very expensive.
Yes.
And it's not what people think it is. I think they just think these small publishers, it's hard work. It's hard work.
Yes, it is.
It's a lot of money. And, you know, and the authors think they don't have to help. And they do.
And also,
right.
Another important thing about publishers, big or small, they too are a business. Publishers are not in the business to educate people. They are not in the business to produce literature. They are in the business to make money. And so, you know, ideally, everybody's working together to create a good product for the reader. But don't get fooled by thinking that this publisher is excited about they're excited about your book, but they want to sell a million books. They don't really care which titles those are.
Exactly.
And
the minute you forget it's a business, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's
because
right.
it is a business and you're expected to come across with your part of things, creating your own platform and establishing yourself with readers, getting your own email list, you know, having giveaways, doing release parties. That's all part of it. And if you don't want to do that, don't become a writer because it isn't just
about
writing.
This isn't a business for you.
Right, yeah.
It is, and it's hard.
It's very true, you know, that this is a business, you know, and you have to treat it as a business. And, you know, and I think a lot of people...
And watch what you say on your Facebook page.
I'm just going to say...
Don't go there and give
these are not all your friends.
Opinions.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Don't be controversial. Don't be silly and stupid. This is a business. That page is your business perspective, what people see you as.
Yes.
And you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a literary agent. I don't do that. I don't have clients right now, but I did. And I used to, when Facebook started being very popular, I said to a lot of them, I said, you know, listen, don't go on there drinking. Don't go on there dancing.
Uh-huh.
You have to go on there as an author or screenwriter, whatever you are. Don't go out there because that's going to follow you and not in a good way. You know, you know, people look. And as we see now, there's so much going on with email. I mean, I pick up the phone a lot because sometimes if you have something to say, maybe you're better off talking to a person rather than fighting with them. Or I don't like to fight
record.
With anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, these, you know, it's bad. It's really bad. And a lot of these people, they're your friends, but they're not your friends. So, you know, try to be more, aware of who these people are before you start, you know, a fight with them or you don't even know them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
not just the people you're talking to directly, it's who they're talking to. And something can go viral, and it's always going to be the thing you don't want to go viral that goes. It's not going to be your promotion. It's going to be the stupid thing you said.
Yeah,
absolutely right.
They do. Right. Virginia and I have done shows for all these years, and we really don't do political shows because of that reason, because, you know, politics is not really the same as when your authors are talking, because we all have different opinions and they change on a daily basis as we see that what goes on TV with all the debates, they change.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So,
and just people just end up screaming at each other. So it's not.
That's right. And it's really important
much
for new authors
to stay away from.
Yeah. When they write a book. And the other thing is I've heard from a lot of people when they're writing a book, they don't go back and look at it. And they just send it to the editor. Who does this? I mean, I go back and forth, and sometimes I go like, all right, enough already, because I start screwing it up then, because you can read it too many times. But people they just speed through it, and then they go send it to an editor, and the editor is writing their book.
And then they complain why they've been turned down. You know, and that's the other thing that kind of gets me, the whining about who is unfair. I don't know how many times I've said to people in writer groups, Amazon is not in the business to be fair. Take the word fair out of your vocabulary. This is a business. They're in it to make money, and that's what it's about. The minute you start whining, Facebook's unfair, Amazon's unfair, you know, then this is really not the place for you because that's a big waste of time. Just get over it and get down to business.
I don't know what, you know, see, they're taking a lot of reviews, and some of these reviewers have been reviewing, and they're good reviewers. They actually read the book, and I don't know what happened, but they're taking them off. So it's a problem now for some of the reviewers. I don't know how that's going to change now.
It's
a problem
for lots of people who want to review because, you know, if you have any personal connection at all, that review is going to be disappearing as soon as Amazon discovers that.
But isn't that the same?
Some of those are thoughtful, good reviews.
Yeah.
Right. But the people who are trolls, they never take them down.
Yeah,
you know, the people whose best friend is writing a book that's competitive with yours, and so they're going to go on to your book and just make up things, you know, this is the worst writer that ever picked up a pen and whatnot, because they haven't read your book, but they think that your book is competing with their friends. Right.
It's horrible. I mean, you know, so I think what all of us are in agreement, we're in agreement on all of this, because the thing is, these new writers come out and they don't get it, and they're dropping out like flies, and some should be dropping out like flies.
And that's fine.
You know,
it's really really okay, because it's hard, and I get it, and I don't blame anybody for turning around and saying, you know, this is not what I thought it was. It's not for me. I'm going to do something else. And I have a lot of respect for people who wake up and see that that's what it is, because this is hard. And if you're not ready and willing to work hard, and if you're not really driven by writing itself, by the process of telling a story and the day-to-day with words, if that doesn't thrill you and excite you, if you don't bounce out of bed in the morning, can't wait to get to your manuscript, this is not the business for you.
Right, I agree on that.
I couldn't
100%.
Agree more.
Because I think that, you know, the money, look, not everybody, we all know that when a movie star, celebrity, whatever, gets a book out, they get an advance, and they're out there, and that's just the way it is. So you can't look at them and see where they're going because it's just what happens now. You know, it's a celebrity. That's it. You know, they get a good advance, and they may write other books, and they may not, and they may not sell as many as people think they sell, you know. And so look for good writing, and there's a lot of good writers out there. Now you can have a sample of the book or I like the audiobooks now, and I think it's really great. You can have samples so you don't, you know, you can read an author. You know, if you don't like, you know, what you hear or what you see, then you can go on to the next one. So you have a shot at looking at what you're going to read before.
Yes. Yes,
so you're
you
not
do.
Shocked.
I've actually put out a sampler, a free sampler for a series of mine with the first chapter of each book in the series in it.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
For free on Amazon and a couple of
good
other
idea.
Places. Yeah. Yeah. I also have a nonfiction book, which is still popular 10 years later, called Beyond the Bake Sale, the Ultimate School Fundraising Book, which...
Yeah,
I'm going to be in the process of revising.
My To Life book does very well, and it's about a Holocaust survivor. Nonfiction does sell, you know, because the people that are looking for certain subjects, that's what keeps them selling.
But the romance books still sell more than any other genre.
Yeah,
$1.04 billion dollars in romance books last year, I think.
I think it's hard though for the reader. I would say if I didn't know all this, I think it would be difficult. But although then again, you would go look and the way you always looked, you looked for the cover, you looked for the back page, you know, and you took a gamble on it, you know. And on e-books, you can. I mean, it's expensive to go into a bookstore and buy a book then, you know, just to take a gamble. I can see that now because it is expensive. A hardback is very. You know, but Barnes & Noble, you know, they push too. And, like, I think Lee, did you just say something about Barnes & Noble or Jean, did you say that?
No.
About Barnes & Noble before?
I didn't.
Oh, okay. Barnes & Noble, I mean, I think if you don't change things and you keep your book on Barnes & Noble, I think it's a steady sale. I think that, you know, people always say just Amazon, but I think Barnes & Noble is coming around because I think books are selling on Barnes & Noble pretty good these days. That's what I think, you know.
I like the idea of there being competition for Amazon, too. I don't ever like to see a monopoly because it's too much power in one set of hands. So I'm all for Barnes & Noble and Kobo and iTunes and all of those.
Right. They're all
retailers.
Doing well. And Kobo's takes you really far internationally. I mean, and that's
yes,
really
I know.
What
I think
I'm
I have
doing.
To work on that because I'm on Kobo. Right. I do. I was looking in there.
My
and
December,
there's a lot goes
all,
on there.
My month of December is all going to be about expanding from what I'm doing now into things like audiobooks and into translations and into international marketing.
I love the audiobooks.
My books are out there. I just have a book that is now been translated into Chinese and is now for sale in China. As an ebook. And so I intend to pursue that because I do believe that there are a lot of people who are not.
And oh, my God, yes.
This is not the only place, you know. We're not necessarily the biggest English reading population. There's a population
in
India,
too.
No,
you can go in French. You can, like, I just started to fill out the Amazon French, you know, and if you say just, they'll put it in English for you so you can fill out the form. It's not that, you know, otherwise it's in French, you know. But I think that they're opening up for everybody, and even with audiobooks, you know, I know that, yeah, Lee, you have them too. Like, I got 4 of my children's books with audio. I have it in a British accent because I like that accent, and they're really good. It's a tougher market, children's market. But then now, last night,
yes,
I was trying to do my Virginia series, and you can go on ACX, and then you can go and find someone that will do it. It's a 50-50 deal, so it doesn't really cost money to do it, but it's a really good way to get your book out there. With an audio.
And then
that's
on my schedule for December. Because as far as I'm concerned, except for my one Christmas book, it's worthless for me to be doing much in the way of marketing in December.
Yeah,
we're not even sure how many
shows we're going to do, because it's December. Yeah, they started already. You know, people are buying, you know, Christmas gifts now, and books are
Christmas
gifts. Yeah, and books are, you know, but starting
and
with
then
Thanksgiving.
Everybody gets,
Yeah,
everybody gets gift certificates for Christmas, and then they're ready to buy in January.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But books do make great Christmas
Especially
presents.
E-books.
I think they do, you know. I'm trying to figure out how to do, like, the box set, because I, with my children's, but Smashwords, you know, I was talking to Fidelity Publishing, who helps me with my books, and, you know, Smashwords, you know, it really is a good thing, but nobody knows how to use it, because when I send a coupon, nobody knows how to use it, or the audio ones either. That's the problem. I think Amazon is very easy to use, and it's user friendly. But Smashbox has all the markets. They have a lot of distribution that people aren't even aware of.
So does Draft to Digital, and Draft to Digital is much easier to use.
Yeah, I use Draft to Digital.
What
is
it called?
Too.
I don't use that one. What is it?
Draft, and then the number 2, and then Digital.
Oh.
I'm on Smashwords, and I have a few places where on their, you know, catalog where I want to be, but most of my distribution is through what's called D2D, Draft to Digital.
Draft to Digital, that's a good idea.
Right,
because, you know, I have trouble with
this.
Yeah, because I tried to figure out, you know, I wanted to put some screenplays out. I have a screenplay that's in book form, but I wanted to do it, you know, to format it. You know, when you look at Smashwords, the only problem is it's like you're reading, like, an encyclopedia. I'm going, like, oh, forget it. I don't feel like doing it. But, you
Draft
know, it
digital,
is. It's not
I
that
found
easy.
Is much
it's
more
not easy.
User-friendly.
Yeah.
I found Draft to Digital to be much more user-friendly, and I think it holds the formatting better than
okay,
Smashwords
yeah.
does.
Yeah,
Smashwords
I
works fine if you're dealing with a straightforward Word document, but if you're trying to do anything fancy, and screenplay would be certainly be included there, because
right, and my publisher,
so
she did the
Draft
to
Digital. Yeah, Draft to Digital works better for that.
Because it's not that easy. So I think people think, and that's the thing, they don't even, if they go on Amazon, if you don't know how to format it, don't. Get someone that does.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I think one of the things is people think that they don't want to spend any money doing anything. Well, you have to. You know,
you
have to spend money
to
on editing.
To be effective,
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to have
to put
a professional
money into
cover,
editing.
Too.
Mm-hmm. You need a professional cover. It doesn't have to be an expensive cover. You can find a young designer who wants to work in a portfolio.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be expensive, but it has to be professional.
Yeah.
And then your formatting is important. It's not rocket science to do it yourself, but if you're not very fiddly and patient about it, then it makes sense to pay
somebody
else.
Yeah, I prefer
to
have somebody
it.
Do that knows what they're doing. And, you know, that's the same with the covers, and then I have an editor, you know. So, I mean, now I'm going to be – it'll be under Michigan Avenue Media, a lot of my things, but, you know, I work with Fidelity Publishing, but she knows what she's doing. She's done thousands of books.
Right,
You just can't
–
everybody
really –
right. Go.
You
I
shouldn't
I
start off
thinking.
On your own, because there's just too much to know.
Yeah, you can't know it.
Yeah,
you know.
It's very difficult
it's hard.
To learn it all on your own.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lee, do you do your own formatting yourself?
I do my own formatting. I don't do anything fancy, but I do my own formatting.
Jean?
Actually, my books were already formatted by my publisher, so I didn't have to worry about that.
You didn't
but
have
I
to
have somebody.
That. Yeah.
I have somebody in line to do the. I have a new book coming out in about 2 weeks, and I'm going to be sending it to her to format before I put it up on Amazon. And I do my own print. That I can do. and and backs and stuff. And I've been having a little fun with doing some interesting things on the back of print books, which is when I have a series, I've been putting the covers for all the books in the series on the back of the print
version.
That's
a good idea.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
very
cool.
good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's very nice because that's otherwise, I mean, that's free space. You know, you're paying for that. Might as well use it. And it looks nice.
Because I think,
and then
you know,
people can see what else they want to, well, they'll pick up a book, say, at a conference or a book signing, and they'll say, oh, well, what are the other books in the series?
Right.
And boy, all I have to do is just flip over the paperback, and there are the covers right there. And they can see what
because
the other
I
books
think
are, how many there are.
Great idea.
That's a great idea. That's a good idea. Okay. Yeah, because I think, you know, most of us probably say, a lot of people, you know, whatever we take for granted that we know, a lot of people don't. And, you know, and they don't want to ask sometimes because they feel like, you know, they should know it. But, you know, we're not born knowing this. This takes time, you know.
Yes, it does.
After 20 years, you know, and it was like, I, you know, I do have a problem with my tenses when I'm writing. Because I've done screenplays, and that's in the here and now. And I have had that problem, and I actually looked at some work that I did, and I was, like, really proud. I said, oh, my God, now I see it. I see what I did. You know, and it's taken me all these years to go, like, you know what? I actually see what I've done. It was writing, you know, because sometimes when we're writing, we don't pay attention. But then when I looked at something I had written years ago, I went, oh, my God, I see it, you know.
Yes,
so,
yes. No, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
You
it
have to
it takes
a
lot
of time
I
look
that.
At something, I can do a better job of it. And when I re-edit some of my older books to bring them out as e-books, I've done a lot of improving. I used to have a real fondness for ellipses and M-dashes, and I've kind of broken myself of that.
Yeah, we all have. I think everybody has issues, you know, and I think that people, you know, John Irving was on, I think it was Stephen Colbert's show, and he was talking about writing. You know, he still writes, you know, with, you know, a pad of paper and pencil, and, you know, and he takes a lot of time to write a book. And I'm thinking, well, this is what people used to do. You take time to write a book, get your characters, and then, you know, figure out what you're doing. And actually, I was listening to yesterday, Delaney has a show on, Delaney Oates has a show on Red River. So she had some authors, they were talking about the fact that if they don't write down the color of the eyes and they make little notes that one before even they went to before they even went to an editor, they looked at the first chapter and they went, oh, my God, my character has change the color of the eyes three times.
Yes, yes.
You know, yeah, no matter
Albert
how
became
many
Alfred.
Things,
yes,
yeah.
We've all had that.
Right. You know, so then
absolutely.
Julia or Julie, you know, sometimes you go like, oh, Julia. And then you go, what did I write Julia? And I have a book.
A character's name
Virginia,
changing.
And I have a character Victoria.
Oh, that's complicated.
Yeah, it,
yeah.
Believe
you
me, it
really
is. You have to be very careful. Yeah. And they don't talk the same way either. But, you know, sometimes your mind, you know, when you're writing, because we're not perfect. You know, that's why you need to go back even before you give it to your editor and see what you've done. Because then you go,
I actually had a reader once say to me, oh, who was Tony Hawkins? I go, Tony Hawkins? It was Tony Hastings. Oh, my God. The book had come out, and somebody was reading it to review, and they wanted to know Tony Hawkins was.
Yeah.
So I got right away to my publisher. I said, we've got to fix this.
But it's easy to do with e-books, but not with print, you know. And it really is. You know, it's tricky because, you know, you do. I mean, we all do. A lot of us do mistakes. And
we're human.
We're human, exactly.
Sure.
And we're not perfect.
And that's why we really need an editor to look at it, because when we look at something we've written, we see what we were thinking as we wrote it, too, and what we intended, rather than what's really there.
Yeah, that's right, because we think we know it. Right. Lee,
you know,
you
can get Word will read your writing back to you.
I know. It's a good thing.
1,500 words
and
at a time.
Helps. Yeah,
I wish I had a better voice, though. I wish the voice was better sometimes. We need another voice. I know. You know, it's true, though. They have one, but it is good because then when you, I always read out loud because that's where you catch your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't catch it sometimes when you're just looking at it. Right, Lee, I was going to ask you.
And your repeated words.
Yes.
Or you get a fondness for a word.
Oh, well, I'm very big
on
that. But my editor is like, I have become the synonym queen. So I do that. And fortunately, my editor catches them all. And then the dreaded yellow highlighting, you know, when I get something back.
Oh, my God, I hate that. Don't you hate that? Oh, my God.
There it is.
I know, because you just think, oh, maybe I didn't do that many things that were wrong. And you look at it and you go, oh, boy, look at this.
Yeah.
I guess I
did.
Like
500 ways to say the same thing. Yes.
I know.
I have become very adept at that with tons and tons of practice.
But I've been noticing, you know, I think for me when I'm listening to an audiobook, it actually helps my writing because I'm listening to how they start their chapters. And, you know, what's interesting to me is how hard, and we've talked about this on my show before, I think, a lot of times about trying not to say he said or she said. But, when you know, when you're listening to it, a tape,
it really
they
stands
say it
out.
A lot. They say he said, she said a lot of times. And I'm thinking, like, all the ways we try to say, oh, he replied, this one did that, so that we don't say he said. But in real life, that's how they understand it.
Yeah, in an audiobook, you don't have the cue of the new paragraph to help, too.
Right,
so
right.
So in audio, you almost have to have more of those cues than you do on the page.
Right. But I still put
I
some in on the page because if I'm reading it over, I find sometimes I'll go, who's saying that now?
Yeah, right.
I go,
yeah.
Oh,
I know.
You got to put some tags in there.
And sometimes you need more,
yeah.
I once
yeah.
took out 1,000 words out of a manuscript by just taking sentences that were like, he said walking across the room and making him he walked across the room. Now, that's a really cheesy example, but that kind of thing. And
oh,
I took 1,000 words out. It was astounding. Made it much more
accurate. A lot, yeah, when you try to cut, right, because you realize it.
Oh.
But, you know, this takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
When I go through and have him, to her, you know, gave the box of chocolates, you know, to him. No, gave him the box of chocolates. And there's just so many times when I have to him and to her in there, most of the time I don't even need it at all. Because
Yeah, if you can go in and cut. See, that's one of the things that really, it's true, though, you know, and I actually learned that from script writing, but the trouble with me is I'm not as descriptive as I should be because of script writing, because when I write a script, that's why I went into script writing, I wasn't as descriptive, because you don't have to do all that. But when you go back and look in a story, then and you start cutting, you know, you have to be able to start cutting and being realistic and saying, like, where is this going? Nowhere. So get rid of it, you know.
Yeah,
but
ruthless.
A lot of people don't like to do that.
I love to sit with a hard copy and a red pen.
I like
I'm
that,
like
too.
Ruthless. Like I'm a completely different person, and this is somebody else's manuscript, and I take it in my hot little hand and start to slice away. I love that.
I know. Isn't that fun, though? That is fun, because you go like, oh, who wrote that? Do I know that person?
Exactly.
You know, but it's just all
out.
The things
why
that people
it,
don't
though?
Do. This is what
why
people
is
don't
it,
do
though,
now.
That, you know, when we start, when we write, we think that every word is golden and it should be preserved. And we never would think that if we picked up any other kind of hobby. If we picked up a camera, we wouldn't expect to take a Pulitzer Prize-winning photo the first day out. If we picked up a violin, we wouldn't expect to play. But with writing, people expect that because they've written it down, it is golden and either can't be changed or shouldn't be changed or, you know, God forbid, cutting that scene. And that's the difference, really, between an amateur writer and a professional, is the ability to look at that and say, how do I make it better?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Or you don't
exactly.
need that.
And I think that's very
that.
Important, not falling in love with your words to the point where you're damaging your book.
Right, and that's what, you know, I used to say to my clients, I used to say, like, look, if your book, if your script gets taken or whatever, they're going to change your script. That's just how it goes. And they're going to change your book. So, you know, and they're, believe it or not, there are a lot of people, you know, they're not writing anymore, a lot of these people, because they couldn't, you know, they had to know the rule that that's how it goes, especially when you go to Hollywood. If your script, they're going to just change it.
Yeah.
So is it going to just, you know, sometimes make it better, make it worse, but, you know, they're going to change it. So if you can't accept that, then you need to do something else, because this is going to happen.
Exactly.
And they don't want to do that because they like their words are golden, you know, and that's why you have to really have a good editor that will tell you, even though sometimes we don't like what our editors say, and we just know that that's their job.
Exactly.
And you get off the phone, you go, really? Okay, no, you know. And then you get over it and go like, yeah, all right. You know, tell me what's
you
wrong.
Hang up the phone first, and then you scream, and then you go, you know, back and do the revision,
And then it takes you like a little while, and you go like, am I going to be able to write anything again? Because, you know, it stays in your head. You know, know, and those are really writers that should be doing this. The writer that says everything, when someone used to, and I still get calls, so many calls, I've written something, it's wonderful, and the world needs to see this. Then I would know,
oh, God.
This is not
oh,
good.
Oh, run.
This is not
run
good.
As fast as you can.
This cannot be happening. And, you know, and because people really, you know, that's just human nature. And that's why we're, that's what we're starting to do on these shows now, is really go in and say, because after these years of doing this, realizing, you know, sometimes you have to go back to the way we learned how to write and how we loved it. And remember why you're writing, because you love it, not because you're going to make $1 million, because you're not.
This is why we say that you have to be driven to really be a writer in order to be in this business, because there are all those bumps in the road. And if you can't handle those, this is not the place.
Yeah.
It's not
tough.
The place.
I,
you're not going to have
it.
Success here.
Yeah. I was with a fellow writer once when a reporter asked, what would you say to somebody who's thinking of stopping writing? And she said, if you can quit writing, do.
Yeah.
Because if you're really a writer, you can't quit.
Well,
but if you
put,
can
Lee,
quit,
that's
then
great.
Do.
That's great. That is
that
perfect.
Says it all.
Mm-hmm. That does say it all. I mean, you were just at a convention, and you. What were some of the questions that people asked you when you were there? That you think might help people.
There were some of the standard ones. You know, how do I protect my book from being stolen? How do I copyright it so it's not going to be stolen? And, you know, some standard amateur questions, but also some very good ones. How do I find an agent? How do I find a publisher? And the first thing that I always say on those answers is, don't pay anybody up front. You know, don't pay an agent.
Never
pay an agent to read your work, because then you're paying them not to sell it. And the same with a publisher. The publisher should pay you, not you pay the publisher.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's one that I've said that so many times, it begins to feel very cloying, but, you know, it's still important.
And they need a copyright. They need a copyright. They have to have a copyright.
They,
you know,
right.
Registering
and
the
so
copyright,
many people keep saying that, the minute I write it, it's copyrighted.
No.
No. And try to bring that
in front of a judge. Right. Stand in front of a judge and say that to the judge.
It's $35 for a government copyright.
I know.
If
exactly.
you can't afford that, do something else for a living.
Right. I mean, because it's true, though. If you need a copyright, you know, and I know they say send it to yourself. You know, you won't be able to stand in front of a judge and tell them that without them saying, like, go home. You know, because you need to have, it's $35 and you need to save up, and that, it does take sometimes a long time, like almost a year sometimes, to get it back. But once it's in the copyright office, you can't get it, you can't even get your own stuff out, let alone, you know, anybody worrying about that. But, you know, because titles, you know, there's a lot of titles that are the same, and that's not a copyright. So
you can't copyright a title.
Right, you can't. Mm-hmm. So if you see something, you go like, oh, didn't I just read that? You go, no, that's because it's not a copyright. What's inside of it matters, and you need to, and if you change it a lot after you send it in, you better get another one, because, I mean, it's so worth it. I just don't know. When I hear, I know what you just said, people say that. They go like, oh, yeah, you wrote it, so what?
I guess the point we're really trying to make is that there are so many people out there who are sure they have the shortcut.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The shortcut to the $1 million success.
Yeah.
They don't need an editor.
And there are none.
They don't need a copyright.
There are no shortcuts.
Right.
They don't need a format. They don't need any of this. And they're going to do this all without that.
Yeah.
But
you know, you can't, and you have to do social media, some of it. You know, you can't expect, you just do. I mean, I've tried to, you know, pay people to do things, but sometimes you can't pay people to do certain things, because when you're
tweeting.
You
can't pay them to be you. No, then you can't.
Yeah, right, and because you have to worry the fact that if they're tweeting something, you know, it does take time for me to tweet, because I have to make sure what I'm tweeting. I don't go and tweet everything everybody says, because I want to know what I'm tweeting, because I don't know sometimes what they mean. You know, because once you click it on, then you find out. So don't just click and tweet, you know.
Yeah, you can't blindly do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, these are all the things that people think that they don't have to do.
I find that it takes me as much time to instruct somebody on what to do for me as opposed to do it myself.
I know. That's
so,
right.
So, yeah, I haven't hired any virtual assistant or anything.
No, it doesn't work for me.
It doesn't work for me either.
I have. I admit it, I have. But that's because I just really don't have the patience to learn Pinterest. So I had somebody posting my stuff there.
Right. But you're watching. But you're out there watching, you know. But, and, you know, this is one of the reasons.
I'm giving her the stuff to post.
Right,
I'm
somebody
just not
like
figuring
Lady
out
Amber,
the posting.
Like Lady Amber, what she does, and I really like what she does because, you know, she promotes her authors, but everybody in these groups promote each other. And so I think it's really good. There's a lot of romance. She's changed and she's adding some other things on. But she actually is out there doing the work. You know, I don't see too many people, you know, doing the work. You know, we do things too, Virginia and I, and we, you know, or we send you someplace. I don't do much of that because I just, you know, I find a lot of this, you know, unless it's done the right way, which is like, you know, like Virginia Granier, my partner in this, she actually is very thorough. But I've tried, and some of these people are not very thorough. So I know when Virginia does something or puts it out, even when she puts an email, she says every last word of it, you know. And so I think it's important to go to people that actually do what they're going to do. And if they don't do it, you can ask for your money back because a lot of these people do not do what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. I do a lot of my own art, too. I
do,
use a lot of art in promotion. Yeah, I do. Yeah. To just, you know, and it helps my stuff stand out. It just looks better. It looks prettier. I use a lot of backgrounds and stuff. And I happen to enjoy dabbling in art, and I also dabble in photography. So I post a lot of my own pictures, nature pictures and stuff, on my Facebook page.
Yeah, I see that. I noticed that you do that, right? Like, I use, Kelly Abel does a lot. I'm big on banners. I really like banners, you know, and they're not
too.
That expensive, but it's really good to put your, you know, work, like, you know, showcase it in a banner. You know, she's with Selector Graphics. You know, I do drive her crazy sometimes because I say, how about another one? I like banners. So I really do think that it sets it aside, you know, from others, you know, when you just, when you have somebody doing it. But you know, these services are well worth it because you know and you see that it's done, but a lot of times people are paying for services that they can't, it's behind the scenes that they never do. And it's expensive.
Right. I'm
or they're paying huge money for services that end up not doing any good.
That's true.
The majority of the results come from a few of the things that we do, and a lot of people are out there spinning their wheels trying to do everything or doing the wrong things.
Right,
that's
cool, so key, what
cool
you say about doing
trailers.
Everything.
It's cool to have book trailers, but I'm not convinced that book trailers sell books.
I don't think they do either,
you know,
but I had a friend do one for me that I just adore, but I don't think they sell books either, but I love it. I have to say she did it with Book All News.
I think they're cute and they're good, and I think they let people, you know what the book is about. And, you know, if you don't spend too much money on it, because some people are very overpriced.
Well, she did it for me for free. So
exactly.
That's great. Well, that works.
Yeah.
But I do ads for her for free. So,
yeah, sure.
You know, one hand washes the other. But
what kind of ads?
Really,
you saying ads? What kind of ads
is,
like, what kind of ads are you talking about, so people will know what you mean?
I've run ads in RWA magazine. I've ran a lot of ads.
Do you like
and I did
to,
all
has
the
that
ads
worked
for my
you?
Publisher.
Has that worked good? Has that worked in the RWA?
You know, it's very hard to tell, but it certainly can't hurt.
Right.
I mean, I can't track it back from that ad, even though I spent many years in direct marketing.
But if it's a reputable
there is no
group,
way to track it back.
Well, that's been around
but,
for a long time, so yes.
Right, and I've done ads in Detail magazine, in Affaire de Coeur. I've done ads in a number of different places just to get out there, and I enjoy putting them together. It's something I like to do, and I trade that too with other people for doing banners
and we do a lot of ads. Virginia and I, we do a lot of ads now. We're having people add, you know, if they want to do ads, they'd be on our shows for a month. They're on our show page. Even if the people aren't listening to the show, they look at all the ads, you know. So I think that ads are good for people to do. I mean, I like to do that as well. That's why I do a lot of banners, because you can use the banners in your ads.
Right,
so,
and it's fun
think,
for me. The artwork is like, you know, it's recreational. But the key that you say, Lee, about people who try to do everything, and I think you need to know yourself and your limitations, and you need to pick one or two things that you do and you can do well.
And that you enjoy doing. Yeah,
exactly.
And,
I do.
And leave alone
Facebook
the ones
ads.
That you don't, because it makes work out of something that already is enough work.
Right.
Yeah.
I do Facebook ads and Twitter. Those are my two areas that I have done in conjunction that I think have worked very well for me.
Yeah.
And I haven't done Pinterest, which is why I hired somebody to help me with that.
I do like Pinterest, though. I have to say the pictures are beautiful. And, you know, I also think it's a little relaxing for people because you can't help but go in, oh, look at that. It's pretty. Look at that house. Look at that, at you know, the nail polish, hair, everything. You know, the clothes, you know, and you can even do a Pinterest page for your characters, you know, what they like and what they don't like. And
I've done that for the university, Kensington State University that I made up, and this is the dean's house, and this is this, and that's that. And,
yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
so
using
it's
pictures
very
that
pretty.
I took of my son's college town. Yeah. I think that that's great. I just, you know, as for posting everything,
I
can't do everything.
You can't do it, right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. And that
so,
is
but
true.
I have my little personal assistant, and for, you know, 3 hours a week,
that's
she
great.
Takes care of that. I've just gotten
that's
on
great.
Instagram and just started posting there.
I signed up
there.
For Instagram, and you have to use it from your phone. So, you know.
Right, which is why
I
had to get a smartphone. I've always considered myself a smart girl with a dumb phone. Now I have become a dumb girl with a smartphone.
Yeah, because you have to because what you have to do is you have to put it in the gallery. You have to put it in, and then
I have to figure out how to do the damn phone before I could do Instagram.
Yeah.
But I
well, they are very advanced, the phones. That's the thing; they really are advanced.
You can't take
you know.
You can't use pictures from your computer. But since my phone
right,
also
now you
accesses
can, right.
my email,
yeah.
I email my computer pictures. To myself.
To the phone.
That's
and
what
I
do. I
access them on the phone and save them. And that's how
I
do it.
See, this is a good
I'm becoming
thing,
a less
you know,
dumb
are,
girl.
I know. These are good, you know, and, you know, the Twitter and all of that can be done from your phone, you know, which is, you know, or your iPad.
Oh, I can't,
now,
no, because
I
do.
It's so different.
I have special artwork I use for my Twitter, so I can't. Unless
can't
I email it
that.
To myself, I can't.
Yeah, I email a lot of stuff to myself, you know. This is, I know, you know, these are all the little tricks that, you know, people that you think, that's why we're giving them to people because you don't start knowing this. You just don't. And I don't want people to feel like they're insecure or they're not intelligent. It's not true. This is very hard and it's very individualized. And we said at the beginning, it works for some and not for others, depending
that's right.
on what genre you are. So, you know, look around there, but don't just. You know, I've always been the kind of person to just jump in, but I now myself am also looking at different things. You know, and I do make mistakes, but I've learned
too.
From them. And so
that's
I think
the only
that
way
that's
to
what
learn
people
is to make
right
mistakes.
Exactly. And I do learn a lot better when I make a mistake because then I go, okay, never. And you know, and if you think it might not be good, if there's a question, I always used to say to people, my clients, if you think you might get sued, don't put it in. Because if you think you might, you possibly
right.
could get sued. You know, they would use all these names. But, you know, so if you think it doesn't sound right, look into it further. Don't
okay.
just
absolutely.
Jump.
I mean, my first print that came back after I was, like, hysterical putting everything up when my publisher closed her doors and I first put out my first print. And I didn't really realize that I had to give them the exact same. I had to. The sizes were. I was using
the
an 8.5 by 11
well,
for
hard.
A 5.5
that's
and a half by 8.5 book.
Yeah,
and it came back. The proof came back, even with a magnifying glass. My husband couldn't read it.
Yeah, because
I mean, when that happens,
when the picture,
at least you had a proof, and you hadn't released it.
You just
it,
have to
and,
laugh,
yeah.
and you have to say, okay, now
right.
how do I fix it? What
yeah.
did I do wrong? How did
well,
I
even
make,
the
how
pictures,
do I make it
even
better?
Even for Blog Talk Radio, you know, we can't, you know, sometimes when we're putting the pictures out, we used to be able to change the size. You cannot change the size now. So if it doesn't come in the right size, it'll tell you it won't let you do it, or it'll come out really small. And that's what happens
yep.
a lot. That's one of the other things banners are good for, because usually banners seem to fit places, like Facebook on top or, you know. But
right. That's
why
I
why
do my I have my
yeah.
little Twitter yeah. thing is a special size so that it shows up with the tweet, and
right,
I don't
exactly,
think you have to
yeah.
click on it to see it. And
right, I call Kelly. Could you make it longer? Could you make it shorter? Could you do this? Could you do that? Take this off.
Right.
But you know, right? And we figure that out later. So I think you know this has been a good show because I think that we're giving people what they can do and just to keep writing if you love it. Don't
right.
stop.
Exactly. If it's
you
what
know,
you want to
yeah.
do, stay with it. If it really means a lot to you,
Yes.
It's what floats your boat.
And be patient because these things don't happen overnight. And you have to really stick with it. There is no,
like I love writing.
There is no magic. No magic key.
No, there isn't. No quick
I want to keep my right. Yeah, we have to. The thing is, ourselves. We have to go. Like, okay, I give advice. I should take it. You know, try to take my own advice sometimes. And you know, it's hard because I'm so busy telling people what to do. Then I go like, well, is this you know? Because I'm thinking, well, maybe this won't work. You know, so even if I'm telling someone, it's for myself. I'm always you know, like saying like maybe I should try something different. But I think you know the important thing is all three of us agree on all of these things because we've been there, done that.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
And don't be afraid to have been there, done that. Okay, because
somebody asked me, "Well, what would you
right.
do if you couldn't, if you, you know, if you couldn't have books out, you know, tomorrow? What would you do?" And my response was, "I would be on the beach writing in the sand with my finger."
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. I don't even like water. I'm afraid I don't like to swim. That's what I said to Lee before. I said, "When I look at Lake Michigan and it's winter, it's like to me." So sad looking because it's dark and it's all those, you know, it's very windy in Chicago. I look at that, I'm thinking like, but that might sound good if the beach, if the water doesn't go anywhere, it just stays nice and then it's blue. Everything is beautiful. Not like exactly in the winter.
Beach, right.
Yeah,
warm
yeah.
water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's what we all would like to just sit there, you know, and just write. And that's really one of the things, you know, I still do sometimes take a notepad and go longhand and go to a restaurant and like have like something to eat by myself because there's no interruptions. I don't start doing the laundry, and in my office, I start doing my other work, and I'm filing something, I'm doing this, and that's not a good thing. So, you know, you really do have to concentrate, you know, when you're writing, you know, as much as I don't.
I can't have noise. I can't write with distractions.
I need some noise. I need some in the background, something. I don't even watch
I can't
it.
Write with noise.
Mm-mm. No, me neither.
Yeah, yeah. I just like leave a little bit. But you know why? Because I had good training. I worked for a pediatrician for a lot of years. And they were screaming always in the background. And I'd go like, really? You know, even when I had my own son, it never bothered me because I was so used to talking above the screaming because there are in a pediatric office, there's a lot of screaming. I mean, that's a daily thing. So I learned how to do that. Anyway, all right. So, Jean, where can we find you on Facebook? Well, I know Facebook ready, but where would they find you if they want to read your book?
www.jeanjoachimbooks.com. That's JoaChim as in Mary. And the Jean is just a simple way, JEAN.
Yep. That's a good name. It's an easy name. That's a good one. Okay,
yes,
Lee?
The front name is. The first name, yes, it is.
Yeah, I know. I don't even attempt a second anymore. All right, Jean? I mean, Lee?
And I'm leemichaels.com, LeeighMichaels. And I'm Lee Michaels at Twitter and on Facebook.
All right, and I'm Marcia Casper Cook and World of Ink Network, and I hope you ladies will come on together. I like all three of us because we all, like, you know, we've been there, done that, so we can tell everybody, you know, the things that happened to us because they happen to everybody else.
Oh, this is great. I love it. I would love to come back again.
Okay, good.
Great.
So okay, all right. So thank you, ladies. All right,
great
and
fun.
Everybody have
nice
a good night.
Nice to meet
night.
You, Lee.
Thanks,
and have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.